Should come out of executive session to regular session. Have a motion, Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips, to come out of executive session to regular session. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Mr. Lang?
You just can't get enough of it, huh, Lord?
I didn't see my name on the agenda, but I'll come up.
Well, just read us something.
Yes, sir.
Or we can read the title of the article.
Well, what I should, this has been quite a while. When we had the public hearing or the appeal on this application, staff provided you with a copy of the report. We also presented in the appeal process, Fuquay on behalf of the applicant, and then you were finding the conditions.
Hey, from you.
No, sir. I have had no contact with any council on this issue. We have not prepared any findings or proposed conditions since it's part of appellate type action of the council as an appeal.
Yeah, could you give us a brief then?
Well, we've already got this. We've had this months ago.
I know, that's why I gave it to you.
You've not prepared anything.
No, sir, I have not.
Sure.
And we haven't prepared anything since we were only involved as far as giving you a presentation as far as what the paragraph says in the public hearing that the commission took a certain action. That was it.
Correct.
Could you review just the commission's actions and the reasons they took real quick? And
it won't be quick because it's four pages.
No, we don't need it.
Well, we don't need all that. Could you, how many acres is it total?
Yeah, I was going to read the paragraph. This is an appeal based on an appeal. The discussion today is for an old business based on that appeal. That appeal was held on September 19th of 2006. On January 26th of 2006, the commission conducted a public hearing on an application for subdivision number 2005-12, the application of Lacrosse Homes of Delaware Incorporated to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 175.07 acres into 350 lots using the cluster development concept and located at the northeast corner of the intersection of Road 227 and Road 229B and also being east of Road 229.
We're shooting for the hip here.
What was provided to council at the time of September 19th was a copy of the report from the commission based on what they heard during public hearing. And then on March 9 of 2006, the commission reviewed the application under old business. And there was a motion to deny with eight reasons. About three pages. I can read them if you want me to.
The eight reasons or take up three pages?
No, we don't need them.
It's in the record.
It's in the record. We've already got them.
And you say, Mr. Lank, that you could put together something that's possibly conditions for approval?
What is before you was handed to you the copy of the finding prepared by the applicant's attorney.
I don't know how we can do that.
And also a copy of the conditions recommended by the applicant's attorney. And I stated I did not prepare anything for counsel since I've had no conversation with any councilman in this application. And it was an appellant action based on an appeal.
Well, I would then like to maybe propose that we have discussion and send Mr. Lank back based on our discussion about going over this to then propose something and put it in writing so that we all don't shoot from the hip on this thing. Because this, again, sets a precedent on other possible appeals and the question of the impact our ordinance has on some of these decisions that P&Z is making.
I'm not sure. What do you want Mr. Lang to do?
Well, typically, Dale, he'll propose some things that for approval. And he'll put together, the proposed conditions and proposed findings and then some of planning and zoning's concerns and put together a...
This is an appeal. It's just a matter of yes or no, isn't it?
Well, they don't have any... They have not prepared anything at planning and zoning to recommend us something for approval. So if we approve it, there's no really proposed conditions unless you use the applicants. And I think we ought to listen to our planning and zoning commission a little bit and the director. So that's what I'm trying to meld the two issues. Otherwise, we're just giving the developer what he wants, and I don't know if that's what we're here for. So
we've been doing this for years, and
no, if these, you know, this is an appeal. This is different. I think this is
you
different.
Either uphold it, overturn it, or come up with your own in the middle ground conditions. So that's what the law allows you to do.
He's asking that Blank come up with middle ground conditions.
Right, then we could still do what you just said. Those three things we still have the ability to do, but right now we don't have that third leg, which is that. What
Why
Mr.
did somebody get, do that prior to us getting here and put it on the agenda?
Well, I didn't put it on the agenda.
He couldn't get it in the session.
He's got to do it in public, right?
He'd do it in public.
It was not done on the one project next door. Staff didn't prepare anything on that one.
That's correct.
I don't believe. I'm trying to do it from memory. That was the idea.
You did it on the facts and findings. Is that correct, Mr. Wright?
Prepared by the app.
Yep.
I thought so.
The commission recommended denial of that project.
Okay. I need a motion one way or the other, gentlemen.
Well, I propose that we have Mr. Lank then. I make a motion that we have Mr. Lank propose some findings or and some conditions that would for approval of this, so that we could do uphold, deny, or approve with conditions. Right now, we don't have any conditions other than the developer's conditions. And I think the public...
Which we have done in the past.
I don't care if we've done it in the past. I don't care if we've done it 100 million times. I'm just saying I don't know if that's appropriate.
Okay.
Many things we've got an ordinance out there that we've used in the past, and we're here today because the ordinance is questionable. So maybe what we've done in the past is questionable. So I'm just proposing to try to make it a level playing field, and the people who live in that area might say that yes, we did go through a process and came to the
I can't tell exactly what you might do and when, but when. If a motion is made to approve, for instance, it must have findings, should have findings, and if you're going to impose conditions, those need to be made as part of the motion.
Okay.
So somebody would need to read all this into the record, or by if you're going to accept the applicant's findings and conditions, your motion would refer to that and incorporate it in your motion. Somehow you've got to put some legs on this thing.
I think I would rather rely on our staff's findings before I'd rely on the developers, because we could...
Well, the staff, in order to come up with findings, if that's what you asked them to do, would need some direction from you.
Well, I just made a motion to have Mr. Lank come up with some findings and conditions for approval.
He's going
to
be reading your mind unless you give him some suggestions.
Well, that's why I said today, I was saying we would sit here and have this for discussion only.
You could turn this into a discussion about what those conditions
should
be.
Well, that's what I'd like to do. That's what I was proposing to do. That's what I stated.
Well, we've got something in front of us that's a blueprint. Why don't we just take the time and go through them line by line?
Read the proposed findings, Mr. Lank.
Okay. As I stated, these are prepared by the applicant's attorney.
I tell you what, before we do that, we ought to hear from at least what planning and zoning's, read planning and zoning's reasons for denial before we, you got to balance this out, guys. Put that in the record. If you're going to, you just can't read one side of the.
I think those reasons are already in the record.
Oh, they are. They were in the record on September 19th.
I've already read them.
Okay.
As are the proposed findings and proposed conditions, I believe, read into the record.
The proposed findings are in the record?
They were offered by the applicant at the time of the
hearing. Yeah, but we've got to make them part of any motion that we make.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just
and
saying
that's,
they
that's
were
what the purpose of you
offered at the time of the appeal.
It seems like a rush here to, again to judgment.
A rush here?
Gentlemen, it's not a rush. It's been since September.
I didn't put it on, Dale.
I don't care. I mean,
don't go yelling at me.
I'm not yelling. It's
I just question what we're doing here today. If we're going to... We're setting precedent.
And we're concerned about it, and it's been on the agenda twice in the last
I didn't
three
put
months.
It on either one.
Well, let me make a statement. If I could, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Not my district. You could initiate it.
But you're one that's initiating some of this stuff. Then why didn't you share your concerns with Mr. Rogers then?
I didn't know it was going to be on the agenda till just the other day.
Mr. Griffin?
Well, at the conclusion of the appeal hearing in September, the statement was made that before this is placed back on the agenda, there should be an executive session so we can seek advice of legal counsel concerning this item of potential or pending litigation. This is an appeal. That's why it was put on for an executive session. I'm not sure when Mr. Cole was advised that it was going to be on the agenda, but I just wanted to remind you why it was put on for an executive session.
Jim, it just seems a little odd that if that was my request to try to get some information, we had the executive session that we walk out here and vote. It just seems a little bizarre that somebody is in here. Either calculate it that way or realize, oh, we got to have that executive session Cole asked for. I wanted it long before this. Then we would have had time to prepare all this stuff. Here we are. Quiet, please.
Mr. Lank, would you read these
into the
record?
We need Sergeant of Arms.
In reference to proposed findings for La Crosse Homes of Delaware Incorporated, subdivision number 2005-12, project referenced as Hayfield. In reference to findings number one, with the conditions imposed with this approval, the development will be designed in accordance with both the subdivision ordinance and the cluster development option.
That's good.
Two, the cluster design is modified by the developer and with the conditions imposed herein is superior to a standard subdivision with approximately 40% of the project remaining as open space, including recreation areas, wetland and forest conservation, and landscape buffers. Under the cluster design, many of the lots will back up to open space, and the cluster design will allow the developer to maintain 65% of the pre-development forested areas. Three, the development is consistent with the trend of single-family residential development in the area. Other residential developments are located at Jefferson Crossroads and west and east of the site, such as Wind Dancer, Presswick, Sandstone, Isaac's Glen, Hummingbird Meadows, and Captain's Way, which are also in the level 4 area of the state's policies and spending map. Four, the development will comply with all agricultural use requirements required by law, including buffer setbacks and the agricultural use deed restriction. Five, the developer has taken steps to protect adjacent agricultural uses by providing a 30-foot landscape buffer along the perimeter of the site. Six, the development will be served by central water and sewer systems operated by a publicly regulated utility. Seven, the development's location provides efficient access to Route 1 and Route 16, which are major roadways, as well as access to shopping areas in Milton. All entrance and off-site roadway improvements required by DLDOT will be the developer's responsibility. Eight, the developer will be responsible for construction of all water and sewer utility systems, and sewer utilities will be designed and constructed to comply with county and DENREC standards. Nine, the development is consistent with the uses permitted in the low-density area of the 2002 Sussex County Land Use Plan update, as certified by the state of Delaware and the purpose of the AR1 zoning district, which permits single-family residential development. 10, the items listed in section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance have been favorably addressed in that A, the cluster subdivision will be integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape with the maintenance of large areas of open space, trees, and buffer areas. B, there will be no use of or impact on wetlands, as no lots will contain any wetlands or be located within floodplains or buffers are provided from wetlands. C, existing natural features will be largely preserved through the use of buffers and open space. According to the state, there are no significant historical or natural features on the site. D, the cluster design option will allow the preservation of a significant amount of open space and conservation areas. E, the developer will provide assurances that tree, vegetation, and soil removal will be minimal and enhanced through additional landscape features. F, potentially objectionable features such as homes adjacent to public roads will be minimized, as they will be screened from neighboring property and roadways by a 30-foot landscape buffer. G, the subdivision will be served by private central water and sewer designed and constructed to county and DENREC standards and requirements. H, through the establishment of an extensive stormwater management plan, erosion and sedimentation and pollution of surface and groundwater will be minimized on the site. In addition, water accumulation on the north side of Smith Road will be alleviated by on-site improvements. I, the applicant will provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and onto connecting public roads in accordance with DLDOT recommendations. J, the area property values will not be decreased and may be increased by the development of the project. K, K, the project will have a positive effect on the schools by generating economic benefits in the form of property taxes for the school district where the project is located. Same time, the expected demographic of the purchasers within the project is not expected to create a burden from the number of pupils projected to attend the local school district. L, the developer's traffic impact study indicates that there will not be an adverse effect on area roadways and public transportation, and all required upgrades to the area roadways will be provided at the developer's expense in accordance with DLDOT requirements. M, the project will be compatible with other area land uses, including existing residential developments in the general vicinity. In addition, the project has been designed to minimize any adverse impact on properties that are directly adjacent to it. And surface and stormwater will be contained and treated on site through the project's extensive stormwater management plan. 11, the development will provide extensive active and passive recreational uses, including swimming pool, playing field, basketball court, and a community center. 12, the development is designed to minimize environmental impacts. In addition to central water and sewer systems, stormwater management facilities will be designed and operated in accordance with all county ordinances and DENREC regulations and will utilize best management practices. Significant buffers will be provided from all wetland areas. No wetland areas are located within lot lines, and the extensive areas of existing woodlands will be preserved. 13, development will be under the control of a homeowners association for enforcement of restrictions and maintenance of common areas. 14, while the state's comment concerning the level 4 area designation has been considered, it is overcome by the fact that the project complies with the county land use plan update that was reviewed and approved by the state and will comply with all county ordinances. 15, the project with the stipulations and conditions placed upon it will not adversely impact the county, the neighborhood, or adjacent properties. Excuse me. 16, in approving the preliminary cluster subdivision plan, council is aware of and responds to the concerns which earlier motivated the commission to deny preliminary approvals as follows. A, although the site is not within a designated development district, it is zoned AR1, where a low-density single-family residential subdivision with a cluster option is a permitted use. B, although the site is in an investment level 4 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending, where the state does not plan to provide infrastructure funding or additional public services, that state policy should not be used as a basis for denial if the project otherwise complies with the county subdivision ordinance in effect at the time the application was considered by the commission. C, although approval will result in increased traffic on area roadways, the on and off site roadway improvements that will be funded by the developer as approved by DLDOT will accommodate all of those concerns. And D, although some neighboring properties have been placed in agricultural preservation, the approval of this subdivision will not prevent those neighboring properties from continuing in agricultural preservation and will not prevent the owners of other neighboring properties from placing their properties in agricultural preservation. Any further suggested proposed findings of the attorney on behalf of the applicant?
One more comment, Mr. Dukes, before you go any further. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at some of the wording in here, and I think that if we adopt this, or this council adopts this conditions as proposed by the county, I mean by the applicant, you better look closely, because there's some things in here that are that will tie the county's hands. Like, the state policy should not be used as a basis for denial if the project otherwise complies. We got the project with stipulations will not adversely impact the county. Well, P&Z thought so. I mean, there is some wording here that just favors.
That's not the thing. It says, if I'm not mistaken.
No, one of them says the developer's impact study indicates. Now, we have nothing here showing what DLDOT's comments. So it's all one-sided, and I would just be concerned. That's why if we have Mr.
You had that prior to the hearing, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't care. I'm just saying today, this is my concern. You're adopting something that was prepared, and there's some wording in here that could adversely affect the impact of decisions we make in the future because the developer's attorney has proposed them.
Okay.
We have a statement.
Do we need these conditions? Are they part of the record yet?
The conditions were also submitted at time of the public hear. Oh, the appeal.
I didn't read them.
Do we need to read those?
Well, if you're going to make take any action, it's even.
We're going to take action.
I'm glad to read them.
Do you want to talk about any of the findings?
Well, ask the guys that are rushing to, you know, rushing this.
Cole's ready to make a motion.
I'm not making any motion.
Okay, well then.
I mean, you know, I have been just every time I've made it. Every time I've raised an issue, I've been poo-pooed. We don't need to do this. Let's keep on going. So look, Mr. Dukes, you're running a meeting. If nobody else wants to chime up and say, "I agree with you, Mr. Cole," we might want to look into that. Then you may as well go on, because I'm not getting into any indication. Dale's not getting any indication. Mr. Lang's not getting any indication, so I can't just sit here and talk.
Right.
Okay.
Make a motion.
So do something.
Conditions, Mr. Lang, would you read those?
Sir, my voice holds up.
Yeah, want me to read them?
No, I got them.
Okay.
Proposed conditions. Same reference, same application, subdivision 2005-12, based on the appeal. A, the maximum number of single-family lots shall not exceed 350. B, residential building permits shall not exceed 100 per year. C, final site plan review by the Planning and Zoning Commission shall be required for each phase of the development. Each phase's final site plan shall show all forested areas and shall include a landscape plan. D, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Street design shall include sidewalks on both sides of the streets, curbing, and street lighting, and shall be shown on the final site plan. E, all entrances, intersections, roadway improvements, and multimodal facilities required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT within the time period required by DLDOT. F, the core recreation area consisting of the clubhouse, swimming pool, basketball court, playing field, and tot lot shall be constructed and open to use by residents in accordance with the following schedule. Tot lot, basketball court, and playing field by issuance of the 150th certificate of occupancy. Pool and clubhouse by issuance of the 250th certificate of occupancy. G, the subdivision shall be served by state regulated on-site central sewer system as defined by the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, designed and constructed in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department Ordinance 38 specifications, and in conformity with all DENREC regulations. The operation of the central sewer systems shall be subject to the Delaware Public Service Commission and all applicable state and county regulations. H, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection as may be required by applicable state regulations, then in effect. I, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. The applicant and successor then assigned shall operate the stormwater management facilities utilizing best management practices to provide positive groundwater recharge. J, wetlands shall not be included within individual lots. Wetlands shall be maintained as non-disturbance areas except where authorized by federal and state permits. K, the applicant shall cause to be formed a master homeowners association to be responsible for the perpetual maintenance, repair, and replacement of all buffers, stormwater management facilities, recreational facilities, and other common areas. L, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. M, the applicant will provide agricultural buffers in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. N, the applicant shall include the agricultural use protection notice, specifically referencing the nearby and adjacent agriculture preservation districts within the restrictive covenants. O, bus stop areas shall be located as necessary for the project. The location of these bus stop areas shall be shown on the final site plan for each phase, and the developer shall provide proof that the school district's transportation manager has approved the bus stop location. P, site plan review of each phase of development shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And Q, lastly, this approval is conditioned upon the developer submitting a revised preliminary site plan containing such changes as required to comply with all the conditions placed on the approval by council, and the commission shall review and approve the revised preliminary site plan.
Okay.
And that's very similar to what council did on
Maybe I could make a couple of observations. The things that were in these conditions that were just read There's a, when you, if you compare that with the, your approval of the Isaacs, your Isaacs Glen preliminary approval, there are a couple of things in Isaacs Glen that were not in here, I think, but Mr. Lank can correct me if I'm wrong. In Isaacs Glen, you said the construction of the project would be phased over a period of 10 years with no more than 160 per year and certificates of occupancy, except during the 10th and final year. In Isaacs Glen, you said that there were certain conditions that would be imposed if they had an underground gas storage facility. I didn't hear that this applicant proposes to have an underground gas storage facility. And the next one, the condition proposed here said wetlands shall not be included within the individual lots. In Isaacs Glen, you reference particularly state and federal wetlands.
Is there another kind of wetland?
Well,
the land
I'm just telling you what the differences are in the wording. This was a generic reference Mr. Lank read to wetlands, and in Isaacs Glen, you specified Pacific. State and federal.
There are no state wetlands on this.
Okay.
There are some federal.
The other thing was where it talked about a Masters Homeowners Association. There was an added sentence in the Isaacs Glen condition that prior to commission's approval of the site plan for the first phase, the developer will submit for review and approval by the commission and county attorney the covenants, conditions, and restrictions that each lot will be sold subject to. The next thing that was in Isaacs Glen that wasn't in these conditions was the statement that no site preparation, site disturbance, back excavation, or other construction should be commenced until all permits required by other laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations have been issued and approved, final site plan has been recorded. Those were the differences. So,
and I believe that's a good point, and they need to be incorporated into this set of conditions. Isaacs Glen has set a template, which I think we should follow to help us should this ever happen.
Well, the one that would, if you submitted, if you superimposed all those items from Isaacs Glen, I mentioned that were not in the conditions Mr. Lank read from the applicant, the one you would need to be specific about is if you're going to phase it over how many years. Isaacs Glen was 10, it's 160 a year. This is 350 lots. If you're going to use a, you know, 100 a year, it'd be a significantly lower number of years that you'd be phasing it over.
It's also a significantly lower number of units per year.
That's true, 350 versus 1630.
Well, 160 versus 100.
That's true. You also ought to consider the cumulative effect, gentlemen. You've just approved, these are so close. You got 160 going here, another 100. That's 260 a year you've dropped in on this little community, this little area. So there's a lot of things to consider.
The market might not...
We're not here to worry about the marketplace. Marketplace is something else. We can't control that, Dale.
Well, they might not build 100 a year also.
Okay, so marketplace has now got a seat here at the table.
It's market-driven, Mr. Cole. You know that. They're not going to build 100.
No, Dale, we're setting the conditions, not the marketplace.
Okay.
That's why we're elected.
Mr. Griffin, with regards to that, considering that it is substantially less on a per-year basis, I don't think that point needs to be addressed.
Well, the phasing.
Correct, but I think the others
at all.
You make a good point.
Well, I just wanted you to know what the differences were.
That should be incorporated.
And somebody better take the time to do it if you're going to act responsibly on this, or we let the planning and zoning director put it all together and not rush into this thing. So you do it your way. You guys do it your way. I haven't heard anybody go try to.
I agree.
Okay, then I'd make a motion. Well, I'll make a motion then, Mr. President. Can I make a motion?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we...
I can... Go ahead. Sorry.
I would make a motion that we have Mr. Lank put together conditions for approval for this to go along with the opportunity we have to deny, uphold the thing, or reject it, or modify it. And we are, again, we've just heard from our attorney. Our planning and zoning director could put together all this stuff, and you'd have it in front of you. It's just a responsible way to do it.
Did you say you could do that today, now?
Well, if you're asking me to tell you where the changes would need to be made in the proposed conditions, I could tell you that.
Right.
It's up to you.
Right. All right.
I made a motion and a second.
There is a motion on the floor.
And a second.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Rogers to delay this thing further, saying it's short.
That is
7 months is not long enough, so...
it's not my fault.
Give staff another few months to get this thing, get the...
Are you allowed to editorialize like that?
Sure. Mr. Cole.
He's president.
It can be back on 2 weeks.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote no. I think we're at the point that we could wrap this up with just another 20 minutes of work.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
No.
I know votes no. Motion's denied.
Could I suggest that the county attorney reiterate those concerns and we will address them one by one?
Okay. Since you're not addressing the phasing of the project.
Because he said we didn't want to? I've only heard one voice say not to phase it.
Make a motion, Mr. Cole.
I'm not making a motion. Nobody's made a motion not to change this.
That's why you're ineffective as a legislator. You won't make a motion.
It isn't 100 units.
No, it's there. It's already in front of you. You're looking at the findings he read.
They're already there.
Excuse me?
You have to make a motion to take it out.
Isn't by allowing a number per year, isn't that a phasing?
Yes, it is.
I mean, if you don't like 100, let's make it 75.
You won't make a motion.
No.
I think he's scared.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right, next item, Mr. Griffin.
Next item is whether you wanted to modify wetlands to say state and federal.
Yes.
But Mr. Lank says there are no state wetlands.
That would take care of itself.
The other one was prior to the commission's approval for the site. This was on the Master Homeowners Association. Prior to the commission's approval of the site plan for the first phase, the developer will submit for review and approval by commission, county attorney, the covenants, conditions, and restrictions that each lot will be sold subject to. The next one was the...
Excuse me.
What? Back up.
Let's address that before we move on. How is it different from the Isaac's Glen approval?
The Isaac's Glen approval contained a further sentence that I just read. Prior to the commission's approval of the site plan for the first phase, the developer will submit for review and approval by the commission and the county attorney the covenants, conditions, and restrictions each lot will be sold subject to.
Okay. I see that as being completely reasonable, and I think it should be included
that in there.
Okay.
The next thing was the adding the paragraph about no site preparation, site disturbance, excavation, et cetera, until the approved final site plan is recorded.
Again, very reasonable. Please include it.
And that was it.
All right.
That's consensus. All right.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes, sir, Mr. Cole.
The findings. How critical are findings with the proposed conditions? Do they go hand in hand? And what impact do they have legally, if you could quickly just tell me?
Well, the findings basically serve as the underpinning for the adoption, and then the conditions are the...
So when this gets recorded in history and in our documents, and it says the proposed findings, that the implication is this is the county's findings,
It would have the findings in there, then it would have the conditions.
Okay, but the implication is these are county council's findings, okay.
If you adopt them with the two... exceptions we talked about.
Well, again, that's what I'm concerned about.
They would become your findings.
That somebody, an attorney somewhere in the future, could pull out these findings and use them as justification to say that here, you've done this, and here's what you've stated, and et cetera, et cetera. So when we do this, we're stuck with it.
Until you change the ordinances.
Unless you change the ordinance.
Well, which doesn't happen too often around here.
And have you proposed one?
And if there were a motion.
Yeah, quite a few.
If there were a motion.
How many have you proposed?
Okay.
This would be preliminary approval, right, Mr. Lank?
That's correct. It would have to go back to the commission if you overturn the commission's decision.
They would take
approved as a preliminary. Final has to go back to the commission. We have to get all agency approvals before we can grant final.
And it would basically be someone would be moving that you make a motion that you adopt a resolution to grant preliminary approval to La Crosse Homes of Delaware, Inc., for the Hayfield subdivision 2005-12, based upon the public records created before the commission and council, and based on the following findings and conditions, and then what would subject to incorporating the conditions that you impose.
That is a motion?
That, well,
he doesn't make motions.
I'm just trying to make sure that if somebody makes a motion for approval, that's the way it would be.
Would you read the motion?
If they make a motion to deny it, then it would be the reverse of that.
We've always done positive motions.
Right.
Okay, well, in order for someone to phrase a motion, I would need to know if it's going to build in those two changes about the homeowners association and the no site preparation.
I don't think there was a running problem with that, was there?
Correct. We had a consensus that they should be incorporated.
Yeah, that was fine.
Well, then basically it would be I move that we adopt a resolution to grant preliminary approval to La Crosse Homes of Delaware, Inc. for the Hayfield Cluster Subdivision 2005-12, based upon the public record created before the Commission and Council, and based upon the findings and conditions read by Mr. Lank, with the two additions for adding the requirement to the Master Homeowners Association that prior to the Commission's approval of the site plan for the first phase, a developer will submit for review and approval by the Commission, County Attorney, the covenants, conditions, and restrictions each lot is to be sold subject to, and secondly, in respect to an additional condition that no site preparation, site disturbance, back excavation, or other construction shall be commenced until all permits required by other laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations shall have been issued and the approved final site plan is recorded.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Jones. The motion was just read and so stated and defined by Mr. Griffin. Any questions on his motion?
That's not my motion. It's
going to be you can't make a motion.
I've got the motion.
Proposed.
What you proposed, yes. Mr. Cole.
My concern is, and I brought it up a couple times, but it's fallen on deaf ears, but I got some problems with the findings that, again, that go with the conditions and then goes with the possible approval of this subdivision. But if I must, I guess I'll go through real quick. There's a couple things. It states that in the proposed findings that the development is superior to standard subdivisions and stuff, and that could be questionable. But the next one is the development is consistent with this trend of single-family residential development. Well, I don't know if it's consistent because the Planning and Zoning Commission did reject it because they didn't find it consistent. The other one, number nine, a development is consistent with the uses permitted in the low-density area of the Sussex County Land Use Plan. Again, it was also certified by the state, implying, again, that the state and the county are on board on this one, whereas the Planning and Zoning Commission did not support it. And I don't believe the state of Delaware. I think they had some negative comments about it. I know the Department of Agriculture at the state level also had some. The cluster design was an option that would preserve some open space. It really, the findings don't really say what percentage it is and why it's superior. It also says in number I, it says in our findings, the developer's impact study indicates, and again, I think that we're supposed to have both sides and weigh out these kind of decisions. We look at number 14, it says it implies that the state's comments concerning the level four area designation has been considered. Well, we know that there is a problem with level four and that the state and the county have also been on record saying that we don't support, a lot of development in those areas because of the infrastructure cost. The project and the stipulations conditions will not adversely impact the county and the neighborhoods and Jason's property. Well, P&Z also thought differently. And then the one that really bothers me is under 16 is number B. It says, although the site is in an investment level four area, according to strategies for state policies and spending, where the state does not plan to provide infrastructure funding or additional public services, that the state policy should not, wait, this is what the developers put in writing, and that it will become one of our reasons, that the state policy should not be used as a basis for denial if this project otherwise complies with the county subdivision ordinance. So what we basically have said here is that the state policy and the level four things are not important. And we've never said that. I think we have denied subdivisions based on their level four areas. Okay. So this says now that we should not be used as a basis. We have used it in the past, and we this would make it difficult to use it in the future. So my vote would be, because the findings and the conditions have been presented by the developer, and we did not have an opportunity to have Mr. Lank propose some from the county's point of view and the county's findings. So I think the three things we needed to do here today were not, we only had two of them. And so I'm going to just vote no, because I just think it was a rush. We're a rush to judgment. It could have been passed, I think, with Mr. Lank's findings and conditions, and it had been more appropriate.
Mr. Cole votes no. Mr. Phillips.
To the contrary, I don't believe the state policy should mandate what we can and can't do. If an application meets all the provisions of our subdivision ordinance, we have a roadmap for people to follow, and if they follow that roadmap, then we need to make the approval based on the law. In this case, we are considering an application which was denied at the same time that Isaac's Glen was denied. This council unanimously overturned the Isaac's Glen denial and approved it. And to do otherwise today would simply be unfair, if not just asking for a lawsuit.
I think that's voting yes, Mr. Phillips.
I said yes at the beginning.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Rogers.
It may be wrong and unfair, but I just think of the activities that occurred here today and Mr. Lank not getting to do his presentation back to us all collectively with all the thoughts and changes and modifications we made and additions. I vote no.
Mr. Rogers votes no. Mr. Jones.
You know, this has been going on for 7 months. It's been on the agenda twice when we've had the facts and findings in it. And I feel that if council, anybody felt like they weren't getting a fair shake, that they had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Lank and take that project on and do what they wanted to do and present us with some paperwork. You can't wait. You can't wait to the last minute and sit in front of us and say, oh, my God, let's modify them. You know, it's not like this is the first time we have seen this project. If you look at the level four, they don't do anything in level one, two, or three, so I don't know why they should do anything in level four. You know, and that is not, level four has nothing to do with our land use plan. If you look at the projects that were developed, if you look at the facts and findings, Captain's Way, Hummingbird, they're all in the area. A lot of them haven't been built, and I think because of the market, that there will certainly be slow coming out of the hole, but that it should have no bearing on what we're doing here as far as land use. My vote is yes.
A number of things, but due to length of time, I will not be lengthy, but it does mention open space, 40% open space, and I guess one reason that I am going to vote yes is because 16A, although the site is not within a designated district, it is zone AR1, where a low-density single-family subdivision with a cluster option is a permitted use. And then also 16, where Mr. Cole disagrees with, but I agree with that. I don't consider we're pushing this thing through or in a hurry, because it's been 7 months, and I detest deferring on anything this long. I think we need to clean up our agenda. And I've always said that for the years that I've been here. But with the conditions which have been discussed and the findings that have been discussed today and amended, and they have been, well, consensus was reached on each one of those that as they were read by Mr. Lank, my vote is yes. Motion's carried. Thank you, Mr. Lank.
Mr. Lank.
Mrs. Webb, grant request. Turn that phone off.
The first one today is Friends of the Milton Public Library.
Any reinvestment?
How much?
Two.
Alrighty.
I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, to give $2,000 from his community reinvestment to the town of Library to purchase equipment. Do I have a second?
Yes.
I have 2 seconds. So, by Mr. Jones, Mr. Cole,
yes,
Mr. Phillips,
Phillips,
Mr. Rogers,
yes,
Mr. Jones,
yes.
Motion is carried.
How much you want to do on the Indian River?
Odyssey of the Mind Boosters.
What we do last
Indian year? River, $1,250 last year.
$1,250.
Yep, for this one.
Well, we got Rogers, Phillips, and Cole.
Nope.
We have Mr. Phillips and at $750, and the others at $125.
I'll make that motion.
What was the,
who's doing $750?
I'll make a second.
Oh, well, I don't know what the motion is. Who's doing $750?
Mr. Cole.
No. That's not how it was.
I'm asking you. Who was?
750, Mr. Phillips, and 125, the rest.
I'll make that motion.
This elementary school?
Huh?
It's Odyssey of the Mind, Indian River. They want to travel to World Finals.
I'll make that motion.
But mine's elementary. Could that be a youth activity? Because mine's are all under 14
years
old. Going
to school.
Huh?
It's going to a school.
So you included me in that too last year, $125?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My district don't go quite down there.
I make that motion.
That's how it was done last year.
He started acting like Mr. Coleman.
Second the motion. We can move on.
I don't have a second. I have a motion, a second. You guys are sticking it to me.
And actually, that was in 05. So, I mean, you can do whatever you want.
We got
that
a motion
and
a
payment.
Second, Mr. President.
Could I amend the motion?
No.
Oh, I've got a motion second. Let's see if it dies.
Well,
there.
No, we've got discussion.
Somebody could withdraw their second. And then
no.
Mr. Roger, you made the second. Would you withdraw it?
No, I'm ready to vote.
I got discussion.
No, he's
discussion,
all Billy's Billy
yes.
Now.
Come on.
Phillips.
Discussion?
The discussion is this. Mr. Cole and I need to split that in half, and you guys don't need to participate. So I'd like to amend the motion that it actually reads 625 for Mr. Cole and 625 for Mr. Phillips.
Can you two settle your differences and agree
to
that?
Withdraw your second.
Withdraw my second.
Because me, I saved me $125.
He withdraws his second. So
this is
motion.
Just what happened in the funding for the Iraq War with the Democrats in Washington.
Motion
they
dies
were
for
balling
a
off.
Second. I need a motion, gentlemen.
I move Mr. Cole and Mr. Phillips each donate $625 from our youth activity.
Will you second that, Mr. Rogers?
Can't be youth activity, Councilman.
Yes,
Councilman.
I have a motion from Mr. Phillips, second Mr. Rogers, to give $625 from each one of Mr. Cole and Mr. Phillips' youth activities. $625 each. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Rogers, you'll pay for
Eight
this.
Eight Penelope and Odyssey of the Mind.
That's you, Mr.
That was me and Cole last year.
That was Mr. Rogers and Mr. Cole.
There you go.
$250 each.
Second.
Now, I have a motion from Mr. Rogers, second Mr. Cole, to give $250 each from their accounts to the Cape Penelope and Odyssey of the Mind. Mr. Cole,
yes.
Mr. Phillips,
yes.
Mr. Rogers,
yes.
Mr. Jones,
yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
North Laurel Elementary School. They want playground equipment.
No, it's not playground equipment. They're going to a...
I'm sorry, that's what they got before, 98.
To a stacking contest.
Yeah.
I'd like to give $250 for my youth activity.
I'll give
it can't go from to a school.
Okay, okay. Councilmatic, 250 mine, 100 for Mr. Phillips. I need a motion.
So moved.
Mr. Jones made a motion, 250 and 100 for Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Mr. Cole has left the room. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes. Motion is carried.
Number six, 500 for Mr. Cole.
Delaware Envirothon. 50 each was, that was just. 50 each for 250 in 06.
250 for Mr. Cole.
Second.
I have a motion to give $250 for Mr. Cole's Councilmatic to the Delaware Marathon. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Additional business?
Yes. We have decided down here that there's no more candy.
No more candy.
You think we're... I need a motion to adjourn. I asked for additional business. I saw no hand. Mr. Kramer, you better do it quick because I've got to get to a viewing. And I'm serious.
For real, for real.
Why don't you go ahead? I can handle it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, I don't really need you to say what I got to say.
All right.
100 from who?
My name is Dan Kramer. And Cole was out of the room when the turkey ought to be in here to really listen to what I got to say.
That's right. He's gone. Tell us.
Well, what I want, two issues I got. This issue about Lincoln Bypass, why don't they put it on the west side like it ought to be? That's where the bypass ought to be, because Queen Bee says we don't want it over there. Well, Queen Bee ain't going to be here in a year and a half, so they ought to just say, hey, we'll set it aside till after she's going, because the next government's going to say we'll put it there.
Why didn't you speak up when all them people were here?
Right.
Hey.
You're scared.
Going to public hearing.
He had the hammer. Now, I should have pushed the issue because when he opened it up and said one, and then I should have said, yeah, you open the door, I'm coming up.
They would have lynched you.
Hey, no, they wouldn't have. Okay. They want it on the west side. That's the problem. They want it on the west side.
They don't want it at all.
They truly do want it on the west side. They don't want it any place around Lincoln.
I Well, that's true.
And by the way, if they don't, if these guys don't have engineers up there, they ought to just hire a country bumpkin to show them how to build a road.
You are the man.
I'm the man. Now, the next thing is, I got 100 acres that I want to develop.
Like the dark.
I want to put on 1,000 houses.
Change zone.
Paul says I can't do that because he only wants one house to the acre. Well, wait a minute. If I put 1,000 houses to the acre, I mean to 100 acres, how many acres have I just saved?
900.
So that means he wants me to go out and buy another 900 acres and spread them all around here and bust this whole county out. And guess what? We lost all that land.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. I have a motion to second to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying
aye. You don't rate the good stuff. You only rate the bad stuff.
Oh, so carry.
Dale, do you have a problem with Lawrence?